have you ever done or fancied doing anything adventurous for charity? A sponsored walk or run or perhaps skydiving or abseiling? I did a zip wire once. So that was okay. How about zip wiring across the River Tyne? Oh no. No. Oh. Local children's charity Heel and Toe. They're looking for you to zip wire across the Tyne. Based in County Durham, they help kids with cerebral palsy as well as other physical disabilities from across the northeast. We'll hear more about that zip wire later, but first, I spoke to Louise Snar from Bladen, whose son Finley received help from Heel and Toe, and I asked her how cerebral palsy affected him.
It's known as hemiplegia, which is a weakness on one side of his body. So his right arm and his right leg are a bit weaker than the other side.
And what does it mean for him? What things does it mean he struggles with that other children take for granted?
It's everyday things like dressing and undressing, using the toilet, going up and down stairs, things like that. The tricky things. Things that you take for granted that you use two hands for can be a bit difficult for him at times.
What effect have these challenges had on Finley?
Well, you know, he's suffered with frustration over the years. He finds things difficult. He's quite an easygoing little boy, though. He takes things in his stride quite a lot.
Mm.
He's not too bad.
Was there any support for you?
We had quite a lot of support, yeah. We've got really good family and friends close by. We had, like, the community physios and obviously Heel and Toe have been a massive support to us.
Louise Snar talking last year about her son Finley, who has cerebral palsy. Now, Amanda Tweedy and Paul Bannister from Heel and Toe are here now and listening to my stories of me and Valham Farm, and your mouths are dribbling, aren't they?
Certainly are.
It's very difficult for parents to speak out, isn't it, Amanda?
It is, yeah. It's obviously a very upsetting thing when a parent has a child who has cerebral palsy, so it's hard for them to talk about it sometimes.
But why is it hard? Because surely they need help and support, and they need people to help them understand. And why is it difficult?
If you can imagine, in the majority of cases of a child who has cerebral palsy, it's after complications during childbirth. So all the way through all the stages of being pregnant, a mother will be told that the child's fit and healthy and, you know, perfectly well. Mm. And then through a lot of the time, it's through traumatic labour that the child will suffer from cerebral palsy.
So does mum blame herself?
No, it's I think it's just difficult for a mum, you know, when they're, especially if it's a first time mum, and they see this beautiful little baby, and it's not until further down the line, a few months down the line, when they should be doing they should be moving a bit more, they notice that there's something not quite right, and then they'll go and see specialists and get a diagnosis.
So excuse my complete ignorance, cerebral palsy is caused by a problem in childbirth?
It's brain damage, it's the lack of oxygen to the brain, and it depends on how long the brain's been starved of oxygen, to the severity of the disability, all cases are completely different.
And you set up the charity because?
Paul set up the charity.
Paul set up the charity.
Because of his daughter, Hannah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What galvanised you into doing that, Paul?
It's just a frustration, Jonathan, more than anything else. I mean, for many years, I tried to get the appropriate services for Hannah in terms of physiotherapy, and it just wasn't forthcoming. I think she was receiving something like 20 minutes a month of physiotherapy.
Is that all?
Unfortunately, that's all the resources that were available from the NHS.
So apart from that, you'd have to pay for physio?
Certainly, yeah. That's the avenue most parents have to pursue, yeah.
At what age can you treat with physio a child with cerebral palsy?
They need constant therapy, Jonathan. As soon as they've been diagnosed, they need therapy on a daily basis.
And they will be diagnosed, you know, at birth?
Usually within the first 12 to 18 months, yeah. There'll be a diagnosis, yeah.
Okay, so physiotherapy, what do they need, an hour a day?
Generally recommended they probably need an hour's therapy a day, although cerebral palsy is not progressive. If it's not treated in terms of therapy, and they don't get some form of therapy, then they could cause, you know, further complications further down in their lives in terms of needing additional operations.
Okay. And an hour of physiotherapy a day is going to cost £30, I would think, £40, if you went private.
Closer to about 80 or 90.
Really?
Yes, yeah.
Okay. So we know how it develops. It's lack of oxygen in the brain during childbirth. How many does it affect?
Well, the current stats are 1,600 children in the northeast alone who suffer some form of cerebral palsy. So, you know, that is quite a lot of children, and we would like to work with as many of those as possible. We'll offer a free service, free conduct of education therapy, and we're the only charity that offers it in the whole of the northeast.
All right. Your involvement is?
I'm fundraising officer.
Okay. So Paul, when your daughter was born, you know, what did you and your wife go through in terms of shall we say, acclimatising yourself?
I don't think it's something you ever do. I don't think you ever acclimatise yourself to. It's just something. It's a constant battle with trying to find resources and services and help. And you just feel like you're banging against a brick wall all the time in terms of, you know, support. You do feel very, very alienated. You don't. There's not a lot of people, you know, with in a similar position to yourself. And that's one of the main reasons I found the charity, because it's the possibility of being able to meet people with similar, you know, in similar situations to yourselves, and it offers that support as well as the therapy. You get the chance to meet people and offer support to other families in similar conditions.
Was Hannah, her name, is it?
Hannah's my daughter, yeah.
Was she your first child?
She's my first and only child, yeah. She's nearly 17 now.
Okay. So. And, I mean, how disabling can it be for the child? You know, and what kind of impact does it have on the family?
Well, it has a huge impact on a daily basis. Hannah's unable to walk without sticks. You know, I mean, simple things like, you know, just going for a walk or access to shops. I mean, everyday things that people take for granted, it's very, very difficult.
So we're going to look for some volunteers. Heel and Toe stands for what, Paul? You set the charity up.
It's a common exercise that the therapist would teach a child when the child's learning how to walk, placing the heel down before the toe, which doesn't come natural to children with cerebral palsy. So okay. It came from that, Jonathan.
So we just got a text. My 7-year-old has just been diagnosed with CP after suffering with problems in her legs last December. We're still waiting for her first physio and a more full diagnosis of what type of CP and what we can expect to happen. She had a standard birth, but had a blue episode at 10 years, at 10 days old, and they're saying this may be the cause. I think we're trying to get hold of the person who sent that text in, but there are many forms of CP.
CP is the name of a condition which encompasses many, many different forms of disabilities. It's a full spectrum of disabilities, yeah.
Okay. Darren is in Washington. Hello, Darren.
Hi there.
Hello. You sent me that text, didn't you?
Yes.
So your daughter is 7, I think.
Yeah. Lucy, she started having trouble with her legs towards the end of last year, but in and out of hospital, A&E and what have you, nobody could decide what was wrong. Then she was taken in for a week, and eventually a paediatric neurologist spoke to her and has now said that it is cerebral palsy that she's got.
All right, I thought, and excuse my ignorance again, you got cerebral palsy at birth. It can come on later, can it?
That's what we thought, but apparently because when Lucy was born, she was born with something called a cannula nasal distension. Basically, one of her nasal passages was blocked at birth.
Right.
She had a blue episode at 10 days old, which is basically she stopped breathing for a short while. And they say that is what could have actually caused it.
Right.
But we don't know yet.
Okay. Well, I mean, fingers crossed that everything works out. But, I mean, how much pressure has this put you and your partner under?
A lot of pressure, to be honest, because we've also got a 5-year-old who's just also been diagnosed with ASD and ADHD.
Right.
So having the two with varying problems, one has to go to one hospital one day, one's now got to go to the other hospital. So it's pulling them apart a lot, to be honest. We've had no idea where to go for support. We've only just had help from CAMHS for well, a five-year-old, but we're still up in the air about what's happening with Lucy and the cerebral palsy.
Yeah, I mean, I know it's very difficult for parents with children such as you have. I mean, I know that a large percentage sort of split up because of the pressure, because all you're doing is looking after the kids and you're pouring love and support into them. So, is your daughter suffering because of the lack of support and lack of physio, etc.?
She's had no physio yet. She keeps, when she has a really bad day, she actually cries and asks when is she going to see a physio. She's desperate for the help. We're basically just getting a letter last week, actually, say to expect a phone call to make an appointment for the first physio session, but it's just a case of we've been told how long is a piece of string, and for the length of time you've basically got to wait.
So, and have you had any support, got any support right now or not?
No, nothing at all.
Pet, I'd like to give you a hug. I know that won't actually do much good, but Paul, can you shed rays of support here?
Well, I mean, I didn't get the caller's name, but I mean, he's more than...
It's Dean. It's Darren. Darren's in Washington.
Darren, I don't know if you've heard of Heal and Tow, but you'd be more than welcome to come along and visit us at Heal and Tow and see if we can help you in any way, shape or form. And unfortunately, yeah. yours is quite a common story. I was speaking to Jonathan earlier off air about the lack of support from, unfortunately, NHS in terms of physiotherapy. It's mainly due to cutbacks. It's very, very, it's a sorry situation, but the NHS doesn't really resource children with cerebral palsy for physiotherapy, or very little.
But Darren, your daughter at times, I'm guessing, is crying in pain.
Yeah, a lot of it is when she's going to have a busy day at school. She has to have medicine before she can go to school. The medicine gives her an upset stomach, so that gives her added pain. At night time, she has more problems, so she'll have nights where she might only sleep 2 or 3 hours a night, if we're lucky, because she's in so much pain.
And what do the doctors say? What do the doctors do for you? So there's nothing they can do?
No, they basically said, he has some medicine, give her that. That should relax the muscles a bit to help her settle. And just basically give her Calpol for the pain, basically paracetamol.
Oh, she's 7 years old, for goodness sake.
Yeah, we weren't expecting it. It took us totally by surprise back in December when all this started, and we only found out, I think, about 3 weeks ago was the actual diagnosis that she has cerebral palsy.
Anything else, Paul, that you can suggest for Darren, being in the same situation yourself?
Well, just to say to Darren that obviously, you know, my daughter has a cerebral palsy as well, and she's been on medication for many, many years for the pain. And what does help is that, you know, we've supplied an exercise program through Heal and Tow for my daughter, which is a series of stretching exercises, which she does on a daily, she does every morning before she goes to school, and does them again in the evening. And we provide that exercise program for her and taught her mother and me, and myself how to do it. And we deliver that, and it does help a great deal in terms of reducing the pain.
Sorry, Darren?
I was just going to say, when my daughter was actually seen, when Lucy was seen by the doctor, he actually gave her a few exercises. But my daughter is such a stubborn little girl. She sometimes refuses to do the exercises, even though she knows it's going to help her. But I think she thinks she'll get better exercises from the physiotherapist.
Okay. Darren, I've got Amanda here as well.
Darren, I'd just like to say, I've worked for Heal and Tow for 3 years and I work in the centre with the children. And if you brought your daughter to us, it's not, like boring exercises that, you know, she would find that she doesn't want to do and is, you know, you'd have a fight on your hands trying to get her to do them. We sometimes have children in group sessions, so they're working with children of the same age, of similar, conditions. And, you know, we'll make it fun and exciting for them. They're working really, really hard in the sessions. They come every single week. Some need to come once or twice a week, and as we said, this is a free service for children across the whole of the Northeast. We're the only one that offers it free. And what she would need to do is just come in and meet some of the conductor therapists, have an assessment, they do some little exercises with her, some videos, and then fit her into a session that would be suitable for her. But the children absolutely love coming to Heal and Tow. They come in with smiles on their faces, they leave with smiles on their faces. We do lots of different fun interactive things for them so they don't feel like they're doing exercise. exercises, although they are the whole of the session.
Darren, if I'm hoping that helps. What I'm going to do is get the producer to give you Amanda and Paul's number off the air. Is that all right?
Yeah, that'd be great.
All right, whereabouts in Durham are you?
We're in Framwell Gate Moor, just outside Durham City Centre, so easy to find.
Can you get there if you need to?
Yeah.
Darren, all right, listen, thank you so much. It must be heart-wrenching.
It can be hard, but thank you very much.
Hey, no problem. You stay on the phone, and we'll give you the number.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks. You've been going for up to 6 years now, Paul. Just how many children do you help?
In the region of 130 children a week who come, you know, most of them receive about 5 or 6 hours therapy a week.
And you can come from anywhere in the northeast?
Anywhere. We have children from North Yorkshire, right, children right up to Morpeth. We have children from Cumbria. I mean, it's the only service in the north of England that provide what we do.
So. You're a godsend.
Well, I think so for many families. I would like to think so.
How the devil do you fund it?
With things like the zip slide, things like, all sorts of different, we have a whole range of events which you can see via the website. It's a constant battle, Jonathan, to be honest.
Okay, so the website is what?
www.healandtour.org.uk.
Okay, the zip wire is when and what do you require, sir?
I'll pass it to Amanda for that.
The zip wire is Sunday the 6th of July. We've got a slot at 3 o'clock and it's off the top of the Baltic. And Gate said across the River Tyne, and it's we've done this the last couple of years, and it's always a fantastic event. People really love it. It's good to come and watch, but obviously good to take part. Yeah. You can do it in fancy dress. We've had Batmans, Supermans, Teletubbies, all sorts doing it.
Have you ever had anybody dressed up as a pea?
We haven't, but would like a pea to zip slide
would
across
you?
The Baltic
well,
for us.
I offer you our newsreader, Cara Thorpe, who likened having children earlier to shelling peas.
It's because they're round and green and look good in stir fries.
So how many people do you need to do the zip wire?
We've got 30 places, so as many people as we can fill would be great.
All right, you obviously need a lot of money each year. How much money do you need each year?
It's currently, it goes up every year. Obviously, the more children that we take on, we need more staff and bigger premises and things, but it's currently £500,000 a year we have to raise ourselves.
Okay, well, listen, everybody wishes you luck. Darren will be in touch, and I hope you... I hope you can help him. Amanda and Paul, thank you very much. If somebody wants to zip wire, and there will be many, how do we get in touch with you?
They can contact us via the website, or they can contact us on 01913 868606, or send us an email.
All right. Somebody has said there is a charity in Sunderland who gets Swedish specialists who have had great results with diet and organic meds and muscle stimulus. Can't remember the name. No, we don't know about that. Listen, thank you very much for coming in. Heel and Toe. The website again is
www.healandtoe.org.uk.